wanted to start with a little story this morning. Several of you have said, well, we like your shirt and tie. Of course, you know I love this color, but the tie is acting up. The tie belonged to my father-in-law, and I've messed with my wife three times this morning. Twice on the way to church and one time here, and that tie tightened up on me each time. So, if we get near 12 and I haven't finished, I guarantee I won't be able to say a word. Amen? Oh, me. Let's pray together for just a moment. Father, as we now go to your word, and we look at a message in which you ask us the question, how much do you love me? May we be able to respond in a very positive and good way. Father, you hide me behind the cross and just speak your word through me right now. Amen. Little boy and his mother were playing a game together like little boys and mothers do. And the mom would look at him and she'd say, do you love me? And he'd smile and giggle. He'd go, yes, mommy, you know I love you. And she goes, well, do you love me this much? And he'd go, no, more. And she'd go, well, do you love me this much? And he'd go, no, mommy, more. And finally she'd get way out of here and he'd go, do you love me this much? And he'd go, yes. And he'd go running and jump into her arms. Maybe you've done that before. Well, last Sunday, and really every Sunday, every day, we should acknowledge that God loves us that much that he spread his arms on a cross and died to take away our sin. And then he was gloriously resurrected, claiming victory over death, hell, and the grave. Oh, God loves us. Front of your bulletin, for God so loved the world. The Bible very clearly gives us a picture of the incredible love of God. John 3:16, which we know. And then we get to Romans 5:8 that says that God demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were yet lost and in our sin, Christ died for us. Romans 8:35 and through 39 talks about what can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Easter and Christmas are about the demonstration of God's love for us. But there's a question that we sometimes don't hear. Not whether God loves us, because no matter who you are or what you've done, God loves you. But God posed a question to one of his disciples following Easter. You see, we sometimes think that Easter and Christmas is kind of the culmination. It is for some folks. Let's see. There's 34 that didn't make it this morning. Some of them we know are traveling, but they call them priesters. That's those folks that come on Christmas and Easter. I call them preachers, but don't you tell them I said that. Amen. Well, after Easter is sometimes you kind of hit a lull and you wonder like, well, we've hit the apex, we've hit the crescendo, Christ is out of the grave, and we know the love of God, we talk about that. Jesus has risen. In the scripture, in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, if you'll turn there, Jesus has begun appearing again to his disciples and to others. And this time, instead of them talking about the love that God has for us, Jesus enters into an intimate conversation with his disciples. John 21. We'll start at verse 1 and we're going to go to verses 12 through 14 and then 5 through 17. In honor of reading the Word of God, we're going to let you stand in just a moment. What Jesus raises here, because if I were to go through and say, do you love God? Each of us would probably, I hope we would say, yes, I love God. The question is not whether we love Him. The question is how much. And that's the question He posed to Peter. ask you to stand in reading of the Word of God. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Verse 1 of chapter 21. And after these things, Jesus manifested or appeared Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. He manifested Himself in this way. And He goes on to say to who He manifested Himself. We jump to verses 12 and 13. Jesus has had a conversation with them about fishing and shown them some things. And when we get to verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." But none of the disciples ventured to question Him as to who You are. They were still getting used to the resurrected Lord, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. Verse 14 says, this is the third time that Jesus was manifested or appeared to His disciples after He was raised from the dead. They're sitting there having breakfast, and then they get into this intimate conversation, which we want to share in verses 5 through 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these?" Peter answered Him and said to Him, "Yes, Lord, You know that I love You." And Jesus then answered and said to him, "Tend My lambs." He said to Him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me?" He said to Him, "Yes, Lord, You know that I love You." And He said, "Shepherd My sheep." The third time, verse 17. "Simon, son of John, do you love Me?" And it says that Peter was grieved, for he said to Him a third time, "Do you love Me?" And He said to him, "Lord, You know all things. You know that I love You." And Jesus said to him, "Tend My sheep." May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Jesus has appeared. God has proven His love to His disciples and about to prove it to others. And in an intimate kind of campfire little gathering of the disciples, He asked Peter. Now, there was a particular reason. There are particular reasons that He asked Peter, but one of those was that Peter was kind of the lead disciple. He was kind of the head one. He kind of led the others. So when you want to try to prove a leadership point, you usually go to the person that is leading. And He asked him these series of questions about, "Do you love Me?" Now, Jesus, not only though He directs the question at Peter, it is a question that was directed to all of those sitting there that day, and to you and I also. And He asked him this question. Interesting. Now, the question to us loses something in the translation. And what I mean by that is Jesus is speaking a mixture of Aramaic and Greek. And in Greek, you know, we have the word love here in English, and love in English is just love. It covers all kinds of things. I love my dog, I love my hamster, I love my pet alligator, whatever it is, but I love Christ. And so in that way, we just kind of love things. In fact, one of the better messages I ever heard as a young teenager was an evangelist came to First Baptist Burlington, and he said, "You know, we need to quit saying that we love things. We need to quit misusing that word." He said, "You love your car, but do you love your car like you do your mom and daddy?" And I remember thinking to myself, well, I'd love my daddy some more if he'd give me a car, but that wasn't germane to the issue, okay? He asked Peter, "Do you love Me?" Now, what's important is that I take you back. Now, I don't spend a lot of time with Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. One, because it's going to confuse you, and two, it'll be like me singing in Spanish a few weeks ago. Sang the second verse of the Via Dolorosa in Spanish, and the girl just smiled at me, Roger, the whole time. I don't know that they understood Southern Spanish, you know what I mean? Well, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love Me?" But Jesus uses a different word for love than you and I know about. It is the Greek, it comes from the Greek word agape or agapeo. And what he asked Peter was this in that first question. "Peter, do you love Me more than these? Do you love Me?" And the love he spoke of was a sacrificial love. It is a love that prioritizes just that person or just that thing. And so when he asked him, "Peter, are you completely committed?" It's the committed love. So when Jesus looks at Peter, he says, "Peter, do you love Me?" Peter, are you completely committed to me? Now, he did this in light of the fact, for those of you that know the Bible and know the gospel, Peter, who had told Jesus before he was taken captive and tried and crucified, he said, Lord, even though all of these other guys fall away, I'm going to stick with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'll die for you. And yet there's Peter in the garden as they're trying the Lord Jesus Christ. A little girl walks up to him and says, you're a Galilean. You know him. He goes, I don't know him. A few minutes later, Peter kind of moves away and somebody else comes up to him and says, you're one of those followers of Christ. I know who you are. And he goes, I do not know that man. And finally, the third time that Peter denied him, which Jesus had told him he would, Peter cursed. Peter used some non-church language about not knowing Jesus. And so Jesus asked him a question. Peter, do you love me? Not, hey, do you love me? No. Peter, do you love me enough? Are you committed? Are you sacrificially committed to me? Now Peter answered. He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Let's look again at the verse. You know that I love you. The difference is it comes again in that little use. Peter used a different word. Peter used the word that comes from the word philio or philos. Peter basically said, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Are you completely committed to me? And Peter says, you know, Jesus, yeah, I love you, but I love you like a buddy. You're my buddy. You're my brother. We don't know how long the conversation went on or how maybe it kind of paused. Jesus comes back to him, the same thing. Jesus asked him, using the word agapeo, Peter, do you love me? Are you completely committed to me? Are you sacrificially committed to me? And Peter again answers, let's look at verse 16. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, Peter used a different word. One is saying, do you love me enough to be committed to you? And Peter says, yeah, I love you like a buddy. Jesus asked him a third time. This time Jesus changed the word. Jesus got down to Peter's level and he said, Peter, do you love me like a buddy? And Peter was grieved because it reminded him of how he had failed the Lord. How when he said, Peter had said earlier in the upper room, I'll never leave you. Even though all of these other 11, they do you, they run. I'm going to be there. And he had failed miserably. The Scripture said he was grieved. Lord, he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Now, in each of the times that Jesus said that to him, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep, feed my lambs. He was reminding Peter of something that he was calling him to. And that was a deeper commitment. That's really what he's doing here. He's saying to him, Peter, I haven't given up on you. And the truth is that Peter was never able to love Jesus at the depth that Jesus loved him. He could never say, yes, I give everything. He couldn't say that. But Jesus still told him that he loved him. And he had a place for him. The call here to us this morning, like that to Peter, is the Lord saying to us, do you love me? If Jesus walked in the door today, we would ask the question, and he asked you personally, do you love me? Well, sure, Lord, you know I love you. At 9 years old, at the First Baptist Church on the left side, I gave my hand to the pastor and my heart to the master. Yeah, I love you. Now, what if he followed that up, much like he did with Peter, but with a different word, and he said, how much do you love me? How much do you love me? Is it this much? Is it this much? Is it this much? You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the sad realities about the church and about Christianity is that we want God to love us, and we just want to glory. We want to relish. We want to wallow in the love of God. And we want to tell people that we love God. But the question for us this morning is our love that of filio? Yes, Jesus is He's my Savior. But is He my Lord? You see, with a lot of Christians, it stops at Easter, where we accept the resurrection and we thank God that we're saved. And it's like the old black preacher was preaching one day about a brother. He said he's crossed over Jordan because he got his ticket punched by the king. I know folks that are just so anxious when the time comes to go to heaven. They want all that, but there's more to loving Christ than just remembering the cross and glorying in the resurrection. Do you love me? And what he's saying is, are you going to be a fan or a follower? Now, you folks, I'm going to use it, and it's not because it's Caroline, it's just who I is, okay? People ask me all the time, go, well, you're one of them Carolina fans. I went, nope. No, I'm not. Huh? Why you got all that blue on? If you really want to mess with it, you tell them it's cheaper. Cheaper than that other stuff right now? I do that with the red stuff. That's why I wear red. That stuff's too cheap. I attend football games and basketball games at the University of North Carolina. And listen, let me go on and tell you, I don't think that the sun rises and sets in Chapel Hill. Yes, there are a bunch of snobs and people that, I've met them. I love messing with their head, okay? But I'm more than a fan. Because, you see, when I go to the football games and the basketball games, I see the fans. They're kind of sitting on their hands. We score a touchdown. Carolina's not real loud. We're proper, okay? And I look at all the fans, and the fans are kind of there or they're not there. There's a difference. And it's the same thing. I've got a T-shirt that I wear that says, I am not a fan of Jesus. Boy, it sets people off. I thought you were a preacher. And you wear a shirt that says, I'm not a fan. I said, I'm not a fan of Jesus. Well, what are you then? I'm a follower. That's what he's asking me. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, do you love me sacrificially? Are you committed to me? To my cause? Or do you just love me because of what I did for you? That's the call to you and I today. You see, the difference between a fan of Jesus and a follower of Jesus really is this. The fans can take him or leave him because there's always something better going on in their lives from time to time. The fans have other things that are the top priority in their life. What he asked Peter right here, he said, Peter, am I number one in your life all the time? Not am I one of four or five things you love. Well, I like Carolina, and I like the Braves, and I like chocolate, I like barbecue, and I love barbecue. Especially Eastern North Carolina. You need to try it. It'll change your life, okay? Are you a fan or a follower? That's God's question for us today. If you're a follower, then you're going to make a commitment, or you've already made a commitment, and God's telling us today He wants you to make a deeper commitment to do what He told Peter to do. You see, some folks think that salvation ends it all. It really is the beginning, for God then told Peter after he confessed his love for him. He said, then go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples. Tell people about me. The difference between a fan and a follower. Fans like to show up when the times are good. The followers are there
when it's not good. Any of y'all Chicago Cubs fan? If you are, don't tell it. Amen. You remember the Braves when they couldn't, when they had Nakahoma and Nakathinga? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those two Indians. If you hit a single, that Indian came out of the TP. If you hit a home run, Nakahoma came out. So y'all aren't Braves. Y'all Braves fans. Y'all not Braves followers. You'd have known that. See, I don't even follow baseball, and I know who Dale Murphy is and how many home runs he hit. A follower or a fan? The question for us today. Am I a fan or am I a follower? When Jesus says, "Do you love me?" What you got to decide is how much. How much? We got a community out there. We've got a city and a state and a nation that are on a fast sleigh ride to destruction. We've got people out there that you and I know. There are people in hospitals right now. There are people that you and I maybe know right now, or they've crossed our lives right now, and they may be getting ready to die, and they're going off into eternity lost, and Jesus would look at us and He would say, "Do you love me enough to feed my sheep and to tend my lambs?" Christ is calling for a deeper commitment today. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm already committed." No, some of you might need to be committed, and I mean in a different way, okay? Is Jesus the priority of your life? Not one of many priorities. Is He the priority? That's what He asked Peter. And here's the beauty of it. Peter changed. Peter committed. Peter on the day of Pentecost, that same Peter that denied Jesus preached, and 3,000 people came to know the Lord. Peter became a writer of some of the epistles in our Bible. Peter, when it came time to give his life for Christ, did it. He became that committed. In fact, Peter was crucified upside down. He said, "You're going to put my feet up here and do me this." Why? Because he said, "I'm not worthy of hanging the way my Lord did." Peter was committed. The question for us today: how much do you love Him? If we really decide we love Him more, and we're going to be committed more, then we're going to see that we have an even greater impact in this church. You say, "Well, preacher, give me an example of something I can do to commit." Russell, where are you? There you are. How many we have in Sunday school? I don't even want to look back. 69. That means 31 are here, and some of them back there, and here and there. Let me tell you something you can commit to if you want to have a deeper commitment to the Lord. That's a deeper commitment to His Word. If you love Him, you're going to be here. Now, I can't be here all the time. I'm not going to be with you next Sunday morning. I'll be back Sunday night. You're going to have a guest preacher. I'm going to be away, but I will tell you, I'm going to be in church somewhere. Why? Because I want to get my bulletin punched and get my perfect attendance pen? No. Because I love the Lord and I'm committed to Him. That's one way you can be committed. What is it Jesus is asking you to be committed to today? I could give you a list. We could spend the rest of the day, and I'm not going to do that. But He's saying, "Do you love me?" And are you saying to Him, "Jesus, I just love you like, yeah, I love you like I do everything else in my life"? Let me tell you what your priorities are to be. I'm going to shock you. You're not going to like this. Some of you church people are going to hate this. Your number one priority is to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Your number two priority, if you're married, is right there. It is not your little snotty-nosed children or your grown-up mean children. Your second priority is to your family. I want you to hear this. Your third priority is to the church. You go, "Now, wait a minute, preacher. It's Jesus and the church and my family." No, it's not. Because if you will read the Bible, family came before the church did. Amen? Your priority is Christ number one, family number two, church number three. Now, some of you get ready because I'm getting ready to pop you. Work and pleasure number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 or something else, but it's not in the top three. Do you love it? Do you love it? Let's pray together. Father, I'm going to let your Holy Spirit do the work that only the Holy Spirit can do, and to help us answer, how much do we love you?
And Lord, you're not calling us to beat on us today. You're not trying to make us feel bad at all. You're trying to make us be deeper committed. Lord, when we get as committed as Peter was, we will be used of you like you used Peter, and that is to change the world. It may be our own little world of our family. It may be our own little world at work, but it will change. Father, as you call us today, not to tell us how much you love us, but to ask us to demonstrate how much we love you. May your Spirit convict us where we failed. May we repent and turn. And may we say with great ease as we leave this place, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Lord, I know that You're calling us to a deeper commitment. And You're the good shepherd. You're the one that's leading us. Lord, lead us today where we need to go. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is "Where He Leads, I'll Go." I there have been some times in the church that I have not sung that song. I've challenged people before in the church that when it came to the end, and I go, "Don't sing this song if you don't mean it, because you're lying to Jesus." Now, I'm not going to watch see if you're singing, okay? But if you sing, "Wherever He leads, I'll go, I'll follow my Christ, who loves me, so wherever He leads, I'll go." If you can't sing it, don't sing it. But if you can, then you're beginning to experience what Peter did. Not how much Christ loved him, but how much he loved Christ. And wherever He leads me, listen, when I got into ministry 31 years ago, one of the last places I ever expected to be was near High Rock Lake, North Carolina. But He led me here, and I praise Him for it. I thank Him for it. In spite of Tom Bean Blossom and Wayne Greer and Tyler Perry, I'm about to make it, okay? Amen? Wherever He leads, I'll go. Where's He leading you today? Is He leading you to salvation? Then come. Is He leading you to join this church? Then come. We had somebody join this church last week. We baptized some folks last week. Folks, we saw a move. I couldn't tell you because I didn't want to embarrass him. We saw God take a guy who was converting to Islam and bring him to Christ. That's what Christ is doing around here, and He can do it through you and through me if we'll follow.